Good morning, Emmanuel. As a community, we've heard God's call to be here today, to listen to God speaking to us through Scripture, through any teaching, through music, and all that we experience together. Lord God, we thank you that we do not have to seek you on our own. As the people who gathered in crowds and synagogues to hear Jesus recognize his authority, so may we work together as a community to recognize your voice today in our worship and in our lives. Amen. We join in our first hymn, which is 405 in Rejoice and Sing. They're all Rejoice and Sing today. Angel voices ever singing round thy throne of light. Throne of light. Throne of light. Just pause for a moment. Think what that is. Something we can't really imagine. Something so super. Supernatural, we might say. Let's sing it with adoration in our hearts. 405. Let's join in prayer to our wonderful God. To know you, Lord, is to love you. For your glory and majesty are visible all to all who have eyes to see and hearts to appreciate. Your faithfulness, your salvation are offered to all who come, so to speak, on their knees, in need of grace and mercy. To know you is to love you, Lord. Lord, you have brought us from wilderness to promised land. You've provided for us, blessed us, and protected us from harm. We ask you, Lord, to forgive our reluctance to speak your name, our reluctance to share your grace, our reluctance to be the means by which you touch lives that are in need. O Heavenly Father, we pray that you will use these hands of ours, these feet, these voices, to bring your blessing to all we meet, day by day. And in a world of uncertainties, Lord, where people are questioning, seeking answers, searching for a purpose in life, this one thing is certain and true, that you are God. And heaven and earth and everything within were created by your hand. We thank you, Creator God, that the answer to all these questions is found in you. And we share together in the prayer which Jesus himself taught us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We take our hymn books again as we sing number 329, There's a Spirit in the Air. 329.
The readings both come from the New Testament. The first reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus attends the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And this is the word of the Lord.
The choir will now sing the anthem, which is Ave Verum Corpus, Jesus, Word of God incarnate, of the Virgin Mary born, set to music by Sir Edward Elgar. Every time I come, I'm struck afresh by what a blessing it is having this choir. Do you have an Amazon wish list, I wonder?
Amazon,
yes. Our family, most of our family do, and I've got a list, a very tiny one, but at Christmas I received a gift from it. And it was a thick book about Henry VIII, which I very much enjoyed reading. A gift. If this was a sermon, a service on Christmas Day, I would probably be asking the youngsters what Christmas presents they'd had. Yes, but before we were all born, we all received a Christmas present. The Christmas present of the birth of Jesus. A present from God, a gift from God for us. The baby then, of course, but the Son of God incarnate, as we say. And we know from the Gospels that we don't hear much of him after the birth and the things that went on then. We don't hear much for the next 30 years or roughly. And then he bursts on the scene. We heard just now a reading from Mark's Gospel. It's a reading which, as you heard, is still in the first chapter of Mark. And we heard that after calling his disciples, Jesus went into the village of Capernaum, and then on the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue. And I expect you know that they didn't usually have regular preachers in the synagogues. They just gathered and anyone could speak, with their permission, during their time of worship. And Jesus did that. He did that on this occasion with startling results. Because when the professional speakers, the professional teachers in Jerusalem and other important places, when they spoke, they always quoted from the past. They quoted from the prophets. They quoted from what Rabbi so-and-so said 150 years ago. That sort of thing. That was what they preached. Quotation from the past. Jesus didn't do that. He came along and he spoke. He was just a countryman, didn't look like a professional preacher or anything like that, but he spoke with authority. Not just quoting those who've gone before, he spoke, "This is the message I've got for you." We don't know exactly what he said, but a few verses earlier in Mark, before the passage we heard, he was proclaiming to people that the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. You know, I wonder if the difference in technique and effectiveness between these professional scribes on the one hand and Jesus on the other can sometimes be reflected in preachers today. Some, perhaps particularly we lay preachers like myself, who've had only limited training, we tend to regurgitate what we've read in commentaries. It's safe, because we won't be saying something heretical if we just follow what the commentaries say. But it may not be inspiring. Others, thank the Lord, are inspired to preach the word of God. We're told that Jesus' original hearers were amazed. Now, I don't expect you to be amazed this morning, but I do pray that with the Spirit's help, I may bring something. But as we heard, Jesus didn't have it all nice and peaceful like I've got it here. Just when he was in full flow, perhaps, there was a disturbance. We can imagine the man jumping up. Perhaps if he was on a wooden stool or something, it would crash over as he jumped up and shouted out loud. I wonder what we'd do if that occurred in the middle of the service here. Would we try to hush him up? Would the elders try to, shh, that's not done, keep quiet, listen to the minister? Or would, if that didn't work, would they try to put him outside to get him to go away? I don't know. I remember with embarrassment one occasion when I was about 19 years old and I was having to try to deal with a boy who was intent on disrupting the scout meeting I was trying to run. Unusually, there was no other adult present, and a score of scouts were waiting to get on with the meeting. I was bigger than this troublesome boy who was disrupting everything, so I tried to put him outside forcibly. He struggled, and I didn't find it easy. Not the right way to deal with it. Certainly not something an adult would try to do today in these days, but that was a long time ago. I tried to put him out forcibly. Jesus had a better idea. He spoke words of authority, and the man was cured spectacularly. I don't know about you, but I've always had a bit of a mental hiccup about when I read in the Gospels about evil spirits. I'm not denying their possible existence, either then or today even. But you do tend to wonder. I suppose we have to remember that in those days they knew little about mental illness, and any such trouble was put down to an evil spirit. Well, I don't think we need to take sides about that, whether we believe in evil spirits then or not. Whatever the cause of the man's trouble, Jesus acted, and the man was instantly cured. There was Jesus using another gift that lay in him as the Son of God: healing. We see that at this meeting of the synagogue, Jesus had used two gifts. He spoke with authority, and he acted again with authority. Mark says the people were amazed or astounded, whichever version you read, and still more amazed when he healed. Jesus spoke and Jesus acted. I wonder if this is a blueprint for us, to be ready to combine words and actions. Let me ask you, do you think people learn better from words or from actions? Which has the greater impression on us, words or actions? Or to put it another way, perhaps, which would be likely to have the greater impression on a non-Christian? Your words and actions, or actions. To listen to the gospel being explained, or to see it in action. Or perhaps both. I don't know, you may be good at talking about your faith and not so good at doing things. Or perhaps the other way about. You're good at doing things but find it difficult to talk about your faith. We're all different. I mean, it's great if we're good at both of those and other things as well, but surely what we're called upon to do as Christians is just to use the gift or gifts that we have been given. When Robert or another minister will receive the offering here, he's likely to make some reference to the other gifts we have apart from money, the other gifts we have brought to Christ's service. Because we all have gifts, and they can all be used in our Lord's service. Jesus certainly didn't have money, but he did have other gifts. Among others, he had, as we've just seen today, the ability to teach and the ability to heal. And he used them. He exercised authority. People were amazed. Now, our gifts are likely to be different. Certainly different from those Jesus had. Because he was unique as the Son of God. The gifts you have will probably be different from the person sitting near to you. And so on. Paul listed a few spiritual gifts in the passage which Jenny read to us from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Part of it, we heard, runs like this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works in them. Or in all of them, in all people. And Paul went on to list some of the gifts. Not a comprehensive list, but illustrative. So I wonder what your gifts are. Have you looked at it in that way? That You and I have gifts from God to be used in his service. I suppose my own gifts are administration and perhaps preaching. I'm confident at administration, a career in the civil service and two spells as church treasurer and three as church secretary have certainly given me plenty of scope for that. But preaching is another matter where I always feel a little bit uncomfortable and unsure. I can remember as a boy staying with my grandfather for some of the war years, and he was a stickler for observing the Sabbath, so on Sunday there were no card games. But it was okay on other days. And I remember they had one game in the toy cupboard that was, I think it was called Consequences, but my memory may be at fault there. But all I do remember about that game was one of the cards just read, "Do you practice what you preach?" I wish I could heartily answer yes to that, instead of a hesitant, "Well, I'll try." But enough about me. What can we all learn from this passage? What does God want us to take from it this morning? Jesus knew his gifts, and he used two of them. Our call is to do the same, to recognize what gifts we have and to use them in his service to the extent that we're able. Twice in that short passage, Mark tells us that the others present were amazed. Amazed at his words and amazed at his deed, his action. Is our Christian life amazing? That's a strong word, really, amazing. Not just noteworthy or impressive, but amazing. I suppose it's a word that in this context will soon brings to mind the hymn of John Newton, "Amazing Grace," that saved him. Do our lives reflect amazing grace? Do our words and deeds call forth amazement? Well, probably not, if truth be told. But let's at least try to model ourselves on our Lord, who did call forth amazement. And he will help us every step of the way. We're going to sing now the hymn 407, "Jesus Went to Worship in the Synagogue." It's a simple lot of words in this hymn, but it reflects exactly what we've just been thinking about. 407. Thank you. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord God, as we experience storms crossing this country, it makes us aware again of what we call climate change, of the way in which we are causing harm to this wonderful creation you have given us. Father, it's so easy for us to pay lip service to climate change, to saving the planet, and yet to go on indulging ourselves in the same old way. Father, we pray that we and others may come to acknowledge the real need for change, that those who lead the nations may recognize that they have to act. And as we see continuing conflicts in the Middle East, Ukraine, Gaza, and elsewhere, we pray again, Lord, as so often we pray for peace. We pray that men and women will be led to taking the way of negotiation, the way of pulling back from shooting and firing missiles, the way of getting round a conference table. And as we pray for leaders to work towards peace, we pray for those who are suffering at present, civilians, aid workers, reluctant soldiers. Lord, protect them, bless them. Father, we are conscious that all too often we make gods out of our money, gods out of our possessions. Father, we would pray that we and all your people may be responsible in their handling of the gifts you have given them. Father, we meet so many different situations in our daily lives. We pray that you will give us courage. Courage to face difficulties. Courage to speak your word. Courage to do your work. Courage to be Jesus' hands and feet these days. And Father God, you know that we all have concerns on our hearts for those people we know who are experiencing difficulty and need prayers at this time. And without sharing details, I would invite you as a congregation to remember David and his need for the saving grace of Jesus at this time. So in a few moments of quiet, let us bring our personal petitions to the Lord. All these prayers spoken then in our hearts, we bring to you, Lord Jesus, this morning. Amen. And so let us bring our offerings to the Lord. Lord God, we joyfully bring these offerings to you, asking that you will bless them and guide those who have the spending of them. And we pray also that you will bless the use of the other gifts which we bring to your service this day and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share in the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. We sing the hymn 580, Lord, you give the great commission, heal the sick and preach the word. 580. the Saviour who called us to heal the sick and preach the word, is the Lord who sends us. The Lord who sends us is the Spirit who empowers us. The Spirit who empowers us is the Christ who is with us always. We go in his name and for his glory. And we pray that the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be with us and remain with us and those we know and love this day and always. Amen.